Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Of Sports Time Radio, and somehow I ended up here by myself. I did not hear from Dan. I was under the impression that he would be here, so I did not line up Schomburg Stew because I thought I was all set, and there's no Dan. Hopefully he's just running late or his bus is behind schedule or something, and he'll be here to join me soon. But anyways, while we wait for him, you can call in and talk to me. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us anytime you want, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, you're going to get new blogs on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a new one of them tomorrow morning, check out what's going on over there, all that fun stuff. I keep hoping we're going to have content added throughout the week, but it just doesn't seem to be happening, so I've kind of given up on that. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, I would greatly. Don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, of course, I am still out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burktime. It's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E. I know everybody always kind of forgets that first E because it's not pronounced in my what is actually my last name. So, all right, here we go. I put together a FanDuel lineup. You know, it's one of those ones where I decided I was going to spend the money on Max Scherzer. $11,500. He's the priciest pitcher on the board. There's a lot of ways you can go with pitcher money today, of course. Chris Sale's only $100 less than Scherzer. Chris Archer is $9,900. John Lester is $9,700. Carlos Correa is $9,500. Even a guy like Aaron Nola is up to $9,400. So the pitching price tags were really, I thought, a little elevated today. So I decided to go with Scherzer. And then I just kind of went into conservative mode after that. I did like the matchups, of course, that I put together. And, you know, a lot of guys are towards the top of the order, which I've been trying to get. So after Scherzer, I did go with Tucker Barnhart of the Reds. He only cost me $2,000. He's hitting eighth for them tonight. It's Jameson Taillon for the Pirates. I was a little surprised that Barnhart was down here. Anytime I see a guy who's fallen down here and he's not facing one of the big monster guys, I'm always kind of under the impression that he's slumping. But oddly, Barnhart's not. He played 2 days ago and he went for 19.5. So I'm hoping, you know, obviously I don't expect that I'm going to get 19.5 out of him, but if you can get double digits out of a $2,000 guy, I will take that. So first base, I decided I'm going with Justin Smoke. He did cost me $4,000. He's hitting cleanup for the Blue Jays tonight. But he's one of those guys who's just been, you know, so hot. He's probably having the best year of his career. You know, the guy had been written off for a long time as just kind of a defensive guy, but he's hitting 300. He's got 30 bombs this year. He homered, yesterday. Okay, he did homer yesterday. I thought it was 2 days ago. So I'm hoping, you know, he can kind of continue like that. It's Mike Pelfrey for the White Sox, so it's not a, you know, overwhelming matchup to say the least. Moving on, I decided I was going with Carlos, and we're going to have to figure out how to pronounce this guy's name because we end up using this guy quite a bit in our lineups. But I guess we went with Azuja is how we're going. Now, he only cost me $2,200, and he's hitting second for the Padres today. It's a bit of a tough matchup against Jose Berrios, but I like the idea that he's going to get me some extra at bats being a two-hitter. And I'm willing to take the chance at $2,200. You know, he hits left-handed, so I do get the lefty matchup against a right-handed pitcher. I'm okay there. The other guy I spent a little money on, I went with $3,700 at third base for Freddie Freeman. He's hitting third for the Braves tonight. His matchup is Kenta Maeda, again, another pitcher who's not going to blow anybody away. Freddie coming off a real good game yesterday. He put up 21.7 FanDuel points. Boy, I would love a similar outing from, you know, from Freddie tonight. That would be fantastic. At shortstop, I dropped $2,800 on Wilmer Defoe of the Nationals. Now, he's leading off tonight. The Marlins pitcher is Chris O'Grady, who had actually a really good outing his last start. I don't know if it was his first time out or not. You know, Defoe is one of these guys. You know, we talked about it on Sunday, Mr. Fantasy and I mentioned how sometimes you plug a guy in your lineup and he's just bad for you. Defoe has been the guy for me that when I've used him, he's actually done really well. So, you know, I'm going to go with, again, $2,800 is a really good value for a leadoff hitter. So I'm on board here, and we're going to see how it goes. You know, obviously I spent a lot of money throughout. I plugged Scherzer in. I went with Justin Smoke. I went with Freddie Freeman. So my outfield is kind of, I guess what you would call lower to middle of the road salary. My first guy, I spent $3,000 on Clint Frazier, Dan's guy. I know Dan picked him up on waivers in either one or both of our leagues. Frazier's hitting second for the Yankees today. You know, I'm actually drawing a blank on who is pitching for the Tigers, but I don't believe it's a big, huge guy. It's actually Anibal Sanchez, who hasn't been better as of late. But, you know, I'm willing to take a chance on Frazier, who's been very good, you know, to the point where they're not going to send him down, the talk is, and they're actually going to take playing time away from Jacoby Ellsbury. My next outfielder, $2,900. I spent it on Ben Gamel of the Mariners. Now, Gamel's leading off tonight for them. You know, this is kind of a combination. You know, the pitching matchup is Nick Martinez. So, again, we're looking at a guy who I don't think is going to blow anybody away. It should give the Mariners the opportunity to score. You know, I'm just hoping, you know, it's a good matchup here. And then I took a little bit of a risk with my last guy. And this is one of those things that's like, you know, man, do I want to change it? Do I not want to change it? But I'm going to stick with him. I actually went with Michael Brantley of the Indians. I know everybody can gasp. He cost me $2,900. He's hitting third in the Indians lineup, but I know you're going, oh, my God, you took a left-handed batter against Chris Sale. Well, many people may not know this, but Brantley's best hitting ballpark as a visitor is Fenway Park. You know, he's got that left-handed swing that won't be affected too badly by Sale's delivery. You know, he eats up most left-handers, but Brantley is one of the few guys who can handle it. Again, you know, I'm not expecting him to go, you know, 5 for 5 with 4 homers and a triple or anything. But I do think he's got an opportunity to pick up multiple hits. You know, it is Fenway Park. Maybe he dings one off the wall and gets a double or two. You know, and then the next thing you know, I'm looking at double-digit points for a guy who cost me $2,900. So I'm not, you know, while of course, I'm concerned about the Sale matchup, but if there's one guy I'm going to go with, it's going to be Brantley. If he takes an over 4, we can talk about it tomorrow. But all right, here's my quick recap. I got Max Scherzer pitching, so of course, big money there. Tucker Barnhart catching, Justin Smoke at first, Carlos Azuja at second base, Freddie Freeman at third, Wilmer Defoe at short, and my outfield is Clint Frazier, Ben Gamel, and Michael Brantley. As always during the week, you know, this is for the 605 main league, as they call it there on FanDuel. So you still have just a little less than 26 minutes to get your lineup adjusted and in. I did see they were talking about a little rain for Minnesota at San Diego. So be on the lookout for that, but I don't think it's going to be enough to get the game called. And the fact that Minnesota doesn't exactly go out there all that often, it's probably their only trip there. So they're going to want to attempt to get the game in as much as they can. So good luck. I hope you money. You know, I actually didn't play yesterday. That's how odd it was. I just kind of with everything going on, the trade deadline and stuff. But let's stop in here. I see Dan caught up with us. So let's roll Dan in here and see what's going on with him. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going one of those fun things. But we did miss you yesterday. I had Schomburg Stew fill in for you. So we got to talk a lot about the trade deadline stuff, but I was wondering, if you could kind of give us what you thought, how teams did or what you liked or didn't like.
I've been a little preoccupied with trying to sell the house, but I mean, with the Cubs, I really don't know how much of a difference it makes. I don't know a whole lot about Justin. Yeah, well, it's Wilson. Yeah. So I don't really know a whole lot about him. And I guess the idea is to have a veteran backup, which that's all anyone's talked about for the last month. I'm glad I don't have to hear about it anymore. I mean, it remains to be seen. I think you'd have to catch me up on some others. It all happened so quickly. I know the Yankees picked up Sonny Gray, which, it's one of those take it or leave it, I guess you could say, because, I mean, I still think, even though, yeah, he's young, he's going to spend a significant amount of time on the DL over the next 3 years. And, of course,
That
Red
was
Sox picked up Eduardo Rodriguez. No, go ahead.
just glad that Sonny Gray and Yu Darvish trade, so I wouldn't talk about it anymore.
Yeah, that too. I mean, I thought it was funny, one of the headlines I think this morning was, "You is safe in Texas." I think team nobody was going to give up a whole lot to get him, especially with the fact that he's going to be a free agent next year. I mean, whoever picks him up is going to pay for him, but I think it's a safer bet to wait till the off season. There was some under the radar news. I think the biggest one I was surprised by, and I mean, I tried taking a look, but it's so hard with the prospect. With Melky going to Kansas City, I mean, how did you feel about
Yeah.
that one? Does that one make a difference for KC?
I know we had talked about for a while on when Melky was going to go, and how that kind of worked out. But yeah, I was more surprised that it was KC. I was kind of under the impression he'd end up in the National League. So that was a big surprise.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see how they handle
I think one of the reasons you stayed in the AL is you have that the DH option for he or the extra outfielder that you might have. I think for KC, kind of like Mr. Fantasy said last year, his numbers are there. Oh, he's been producing. You've just got to hope nothing comes about over the next couple of weeks that might disqualify him. I mean, but I think of all the teams, they had to do something because they're right there and they're running for that wild card, and they've got to do whatever they can to put themselves a little bit over the edge on Boston, as that's who they're going to be playing. Now, I mean, I'm assuming if the season were to end today, that old scenario, that it would be Boston, KC, Chris Sale versus whoever. I mean, I don't know if it really matters. you've got to have the bats that can supposedly hit against Sale. So it's just a matter of, will that make a difference?
Yeah, it's always tough.
That was my, I think the biggest surprise for me is not so much, you said you were surprising with the KC, but I think surprises a little bit more that they were able to unload him, the White Sox, and still pick up a guy in the top 100, I think. One of them was pretty, just the numbers. Solid pickup.
I mean, the White Sox, got to give them credit. They've done a really nice job of, filling that farm system. I mean, obviously we never know if it's going to work out. I mean, there's always those questions. But, you know, I think all in all, they've, you know, they deserve a lot of credit for the way they've went about their business. You know, I mean, they said it was a full rebuild. You know, it wasn't going to be the Kenny Williams, well, we're going to add a couple guys here, think we can still contend, blah, blah, blah. You know, they really tore it down. I mean, it was, you know, too bad to see Moncada get hurt last night. Luckily, it's just they called it a contusion, so he should be back, you know, a little while. But
yeah,
you know, they got rid of the guys they needed to get rid of. You know, they turned Todd Frazier into something. You know, they were able to get Roberts on that deal. You know, they turned Melky into something. You know, went either way, but they got a very good deal for him. So, I they deserve a lot of credit for what they did. We'll see if it works out.
Yeah, and I mean, I know everyone goes on the 5-year plan, but I essentially see them, which I think a lot of people are projecting, which they completely get knocked for, and I'm surprised there's more faith in the media than in some of the fans, which I kind of crack up about. I'm not even a White Sox fan, so to me, I see it as kind of the media sees it, that they should be competing in 2020, if not 19. I mean, I think 18, you start to take a step up. 19, you get all the guys, all up playing together. And I think, you know, once they're a little bit more cohesive in 2020, right before that season starts, you look to make some moves. And I mean, I guess, you know, of course, it will do the off and really take a look at who the free agent pitchers are going to be for the period after 2019, and to see who the Sox can pick up, because they're going to have loads of money. And I'm not going to. Each team is unique in the way they do things, so I don't think any team should copy, even if it is a team that I, you know, grew up and I'm a fan of. But I think with the pitching that they've acquired over, you know, this last year, really, and maybe one big, maybe two, a secondary signing, and this whole team has turned around in 2020. And again, I was coming from guys not a Sox fan at all.
You know, now, interestingly with that, you know, all the American League playoff contenders added, you know, at least minimal pieces. You know, the Yankees made the big splash to getting Sonny Gray and then, you know, Jaime Garcia a few days before the deadline. The Red Sox, you mentioned, got Eduardo Nunez. You know, they also solidified their bullpen a little going out and getting Addison Reed. Even the Indians, who you didn't think would need a bullpen piece, added a bullpen piece in Joe Smith. You know, now the only contender that didn't add was the Houston Astros. They did get Francisco Liriano. That was their big add. Now, Dallas Keuchel came out, and his quote was, I mean, I'm not going to lie, disappointment is a little bit of an understatement. Now, I heard contradictory from their GM, Jeff Luna, said in his words, and I don't have his quote here, I have Keuchel's in front of me. Luna said something about the fact that they did the math, and they do a lot of math, was the joke, because they're a big-time, you know, sabermetric team when it comes to the Astros. And he said basically that what teams were asking for wasn't worth the Astros to, as he put, tear up their farm system. Now, Dan, what I'm curious here to get your opinion on is, did the Astros just cost themselves a world championship because they're too in love with their prospects?
No, but I mean, I can kind of see it in their direction that you're having to basically give up way more. You're paying a lot more for guys that are potentially just rental players. You know, 5 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, you know, but in reality,
so
the Yankees up a ton to get Gray. you know, and I mean, I go, you know, again, I know he's got injury issues, but he was the guy out there. You know, he's been healthy this year. You're kind of rolling with that. And I know they weren't going to do Darvish. You know, there was no way the Yankees send, or the, excuse me, the Rangers send him to the Astros. But, you know, there were, you know, there were other guys out there that were accessible for them, but they, you know, they really, you know, like their prospects and, you know, obviously just didn't want to get rid of them. But, you know, you start looking, Lance McCullers is back on the DL again. Keuchel is just off DL. But other than Keuchel, I mean, they don't have a starting pitcher that's going to scare you in any kind of matchup. So, I mean, do they have enough in the rotation to win?
Well, I mean, depending on how it goes, you know, Keuchel could get way too many starts.
You know, because, you know, you're looking at it, you know, I mean, you know, the way it's kind of playing out now, they'll probably get the wild card winner because they do have like a 12-game lead for best record in the American League. You know, but if that wild card winner ends up being Boston, you know, that means, of course, you're getting, well, maybe a healthy David Price, a Cy Young Award winner in Rick Porcello, and then probably Chris Sale in game three. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know, with the exception of Keuchel, if these matchups favor, you know, an Astro team. I mean, I get it. They can score and they can hit. But when it comes to playoff time, you know, good pitching is going to shut you down. And you're going to need to rely on your pitching. And I just don't know if it's there for them.
I mean, obviously it didn't happen, but do you think they even entertain, or, you know, Texas entertained the idea of trying to get you over to Houston?
You know, I'm sure Texas went to them and probably asked for way too much, figuring if they would pay it, they would take it. But it was probably a deal no team was going to make. You know, instead they got a, you know, a nice solid deal from the Dodgers. But you notice even when they got it from the Dodgers, they didn't get a, you know, any other real top prospect. You know, they got a guy in Calhoun who has a chance to be really good. But other than that, they didn't land, you know, Boreas is still in a Dodger uniform. And I know they had another top guy whose name I'm drawing a blank on. You know, he's still there. So, I mean, you know, the key really, you know, the Astros had the, you know, they have the weapons. You know, they could have went, got a Quintana. They could have given up a better deal than the Cubs did. You know, they could have gotten the Sonny Gray. They had the center fielder that the A's coveted in Kyle Tucker, and they didn't want to let him go. You know, I mean, they didn't even go out and get a, you know, try to shore up a bullpen. I guess Liriano is going to pitch out of the bullpen. But, you know, they didn't even shore up a bullpen that had some issues, you know, coming down the stretch for these last few weeks or months or whatever. So, I don't know. I'm starting to think that the love for their prospects may have hurt them here with this.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even think about it, I guess, because now that Quintana is just a Cub. If they were going to sell the farm, I think that would have been the guy they should have went after.
Right. You know, and I mean, you know, obviously there's no saying they still can't add now. You know, I mean, it's just you got to get a guy from waivers. So even a guy like Jeremy Hellickson, who the Orioles didn't give up, you know, they didn't give up much to get. They gave up a major league outfielder, you know, Hung Soo Kim, who wasn't playing much, and a minor league prospect, you know, even adding a guy like Hellickson to the rotation for the rest of the season would have been an upgrade. And I just don't know, you know, I mean, they ended up trading Aoki to the Blue Jays as part of the Liriano deal. he could have just as easily went to Baltimore in a, you know, a deal for, you know, for, or excuse me, to Philadelphia in a deal for Helixson.
Yeah, I mean, and I didn't really, you know, I haven't been caught up, so it's going to be crazy this next month. But, I mean, I didn't really hear the national or just media reaction to the Orioles picking up Helixson. I mean, did you get a take on that? Because, I mean, everyone was pretty much wanting them to just destroy the team and rebuild right now.
Yeah, and, you know, oddly, that was exactly how it went. You know, they got scoffed at for adding Helixson, and then, you know, they went out and they picked up Tim Beckham yesterday in a bit of a surprise move. I wasn't expecting that either. But yeah, I mean, you know how the media is nowadays. They ridiculed them for not trading everybody off and rebuilding. So, you know, that's exactly how it went. You know, oh, this is, you know, this is stupid. You know, of course, these are the same guys who a month ago said the Royals needed to tear everything down and rebuild, and now the Royals are in contention to win the Central or possibly grab a wild card. So, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. I know the Orioles haven't had the best year, but, you know, they decided they were going to go and see if it worked out. And, you know, I mean, if you're a fan, I guess you've got to like that in a team. You know, they're not throwing in the towel in any way, but, you know, the media, of course, you know, or the experts hated it because everything is built around, you know, you only rebuild with prospects and you don't do stuff like that. So it was kind of like, yeah, hey, great. Thanks for coming, guys.
Well, and I mean, I get it when you were talking to White because it was like you were just picking up a guy here and there. But, you know, compared to the Orioles, I mean, this has a solidified team of stars. And not only stars, but,
right,
you know, guys who are, you know, not over the – I don't want to say over the hill, but, you know, in terms of baseball years, you know, they're kind of mortally in their prime. And you've got a great group of guys together. You know, this is kind of what the Cubs will look like in about 3 years. And, you know, in 3 years, if they're not, you know, competing for the number one spot, I'm sure we'll hear that too. You know,
oh, yeah, you know it. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, you kind of look at the Orioles. I mean, obviously, Chris Davis is a legitimate home run hitter. Jonathan Scope was an all-star. He's had a fantastic year. I assume Beckham is going to take over as the everyday shortstop, you know, with J.J. Hardy hurt. You know, Machado's had a down year, but, you know, he's been playing a little better. Wellington Castillo has been fantastic. You know, I know the Cubs hated him because he couldn't pitch frame. But he's been really good for the Orioles. You know, Trey Mancini's a Rookie of the Year contender. Adam Jones has been really good. You know, and then they picked up Seth Smith in the offseason, who's been, you know, he's been solid. I don't know if he's been everything they thought. So, you know, they have a really, really good veteran core. I mean, I know it sucked that Trumbo just went on the DL, you know, so they're going to lose him for probably a little more than the 10 days, but, you know, I mean, it's just kind of, you know, that's kind of baseball and that's the way it goes. But, you know, they're a really good power hitting team. And, you know, if they can just kind of find the pitching, you know, and I think that's where picking up Helixson was part of their thinking there. You know, Kevin Gausman, I saw him pitch one game last week. I think it might've been against the Rays. And, man, he looked like the number one that they had been talking about him being for, you know, all season. Of course, the question is, can he keep that going? You know, Dylan Bundy has had his ups and downs. Oddly, Ubaldo Jimenez was really good last night, but he stunk most of the year. Chris Tillman has been terrible coming back. And, you know, you just wonder. I mean, you look at the names, it looks like it should be a solid rotation. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out this year. But yeah, I guess that's code for, yeah, they got to tear it down and throw all these guys away. But, you know, when you start thinking about it, I mean, you're not getting anything for Wade Miley. You're not getting anything for Ubaldo Jimenez. As bad as Tillman's been, you're probably not going to get much for him. At their age, you would be stupid to trade Gausman and Bundy because they're both under 30, still probably coming into their prime as pitchers. So, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, everybody wanted them to trade the relievers. You got to get rid of Zach Britton. You know, you got to get rid of Brad Brock. You got to move Darren O'Day. Okay, well, you know, there's half of my bullpen. So, you know, what do I do after I give away all these guys? So, yeah, but, I mean, we've been over it a bazillion times here. You know, that's how, you know, how the media is now. I mean, everybody has to tear down, and especially since the Cubs won, you know, the rule now is everybody's got to tear it down and start from scratch. And, you know, there's no just plugging in and fixing things. You've got to rip it all up and start from the beginning.
Yeah, and I mean, I think with the Cubs, though, it was a completely different situation. You had to look at the economics of the entire team, not just the product that was on
right.
the field. When you look at the overall, and it starts at the top of the ownership, it wasn't just about, a winning product and rebuilding the team completely. A lot of it had to do with outside litigation. So they had to wait for...
Yeah,
I mean, because let's be honest, you know, if they never did the rebuild, you know they had the money to spend. And the Ricketts seem to have come into this and wanted to spend money. But again, the rooftop stuff and a lot of the outside litigation dealing with what they wanted, how they wanted to improve the stadium, and then dealing with the aldermen in the city of Chicago was what was really kind of hindering them. And that's why they didn't really want to spend money. And that's hence where the five-year plan came into, so to speak, with an accounting kind of a plan and not so much of a complete rebuild. Because again, Biofield did help rebuild the Celtics. The Red Sox, they did not do a complete teardown rebuild. And I think they give a little bit more of the credit to Theo than they do to the Ricketts. But I think that's Tom Ricketts' way of kind of keeping his, you know, even making sure his head doesn't, not so much he doesn't get too big of a head, but I think he knows how to work things. You know, it's a business, not just
about the thing. Well, that, you know, I know, Dan, you're always on prospect watch, since sadly we end up talking about them quite a bit. You know, the Braves' top prospect, Dan Swanson, ended up back in the minors where he still is. But they decided they're calling up two more guys. We are going to get to see Ozzy. Oh, boy. Albies is what I'm going to go with. Albies. I'm going to call him Ozzy Albies. He's set to make his major league debut tonight, as well as, I think, Lucas Sims, who is a 23-year-old pitcher. They've both been promoted from AAA. I'll have to hunt down the Braves lineup here and see if they are both in it tonight, if one is the starting pitcher and one is playing infield. So let me bing that real quick here, and I can hunt down their lineup. But, the Mets also called up their number one prospect, shortstop by the name of Ahmed Rosales. Oh, yeah, here, I got the Braves lineup right here. Sims is the listed starter, and Albies is batting seventh, playing second base. So their two guys are up. The Mets lineup here, yes, Rosales is in the Mets lineup as well. He's hitting seventh and playing shortstop. So, you know, with the trade deadline and teams moving stuff around, I guess it gave some other guys the opportunity to come up and get a spot. So you'll have to keep your eye on those three guys and see if you need to jump on them in our fantasy league. So that could be a big plus, and then, luckily, we mentioned a time or two that the Red Sox did add Eduardo Nunez. As it turned out, it was a lucky thing they did because Dustin Pedroia landed on the DL with what they described as knee inflammation. So I believe Nunez is actually getting the start at second tonight, and Rafael Devers will play third base. Of course, they're top, one of their top minor league prospects. So we're getting prospects all over the place, Dan. There's just so many of them, we can't keep track of them. Oh, no, Dan fell off. All right, well, we'll wait for Dan to stroll back in here, and we'll just kind of, you know, keep chatting about baseball. But, you know, like I mentioned, there is a lot of quality starting pitching going tonight, so it should be interesting to see, you know, which teams land, you know, which guys do well, or, you know, which guys actually have their struggles, obviously. You know, some of them are pitching against quality teams. I mentioned Sale has taken on the, you know, the Indians, who are a really solid hitting team. Scherzer's got the Marlins tonight. And, of course, John Lester's got the Diamondbacks. So it'll be interesting to see how some of those, you know, top veteran guys do against the better hitting teams. So, you know, we'll have to keep an eye out for that. Oh, all right. I was trying to think, Dan, what else did pop up, but I know, you know, the other thing, you know, Stu and I talked a little bit about, you know, over the weekend, Adrian Beltre got his 3,000th hit. And we're trying to figure out, Dan, active players, with the exception of Albert Pujols, who's right there. I think he needs 84. Do you got another active guy in your head who you see getting to 3,000?
I mean, the only thing that matters now is home runs and strikeouts, or strikeouts don't matter.
Right. Well, that's right. That's the tough thing. I mean, you know, when it's all said and done, is Mike Trout a 3,000 hit guy?
I mean, essentially he should.
You know, I mean, we already, be a 3,000 you know, guy. We already, oh, excuse me. We already know he's a Hall of Famer. He'll probably get 100% of the vote because he's Mike Trout, and, you know, everybody would vote for him if he went in. But, yeah, you know, we're just wondering, you know, like the guy I thought of right away who I think gets there is Jose Altuve. You know, obviously as long as he stays healthy. But he's had 200 hits the last four seasons. It looks like he's going to get close to that again. But oddly, and I, you know, I love this one. I heard this mentioned, and I'm sure you would too. One of the names that was brought up in the conversation of all guys was Starling Castro. So, I thought that would be fantastic guy. You know, if he was a guy who would get there, do you think he's legitimate? Is Starling a guy who could find his way onto that 3,000 hit list?
I mean, as you're saying, I wish my internet was saying 4G was working better because I was actually trying to pull a fifth stamp at this point. But I think, being the pinstripes, I think he can definitely get it. You know, the thing that sucked for him when he was here was he was the star of a team that was dwindling, and then when things went wrong, it was all put on him. So I think that really hurt his game. Where now I think with the team he's on and just the bolstering of, you know, young kids coming up, I think he has a huge opportunity. Especially with the fact that I think that...
Yeah, you know what I mean? Sadly...
Not, and if anyone goes, it's going to be...
You know, sadly, I'm... You know, he's been banged up, you know, a little bit this year. Normally, he's relatively free. You know, but he's got, you know, in his career, he's got 1,244 hits, and he's done that over 1,121 games. But, you know, again, he is only, double check here, he is, he's only 27. He'll be 28 next March. So, you know, we're looking at a guy that realistically could have eight quality seasons, you know, under his game still, as long as he stays healthy. So, I mean, Is he really legitimate?
I think so. I mean, if he plays for another 10, I think he hits it.
Because, I mean, that would be, you know, I mean, obviously I would think it would be incredibly awesome if he you know, he said, but you know, that's just me.
Yeah, and the funny part about it, though, is when his career's said and done, I think he'll be more associated with the Yankees than he would be with the Cubs, and that'll be kind of the side note.
Yeah, you know, I mean, of course, the key is as long as he stays there, you know, like you mentioned, they're because sooner or later they're going to have to figure out what we're going to do with Gleyber Torres. You know, he's played all three middle infield positions. Well, he's played both middle infield positions and third. I was always under the impression that Castro would be the guy who went to third base, and it would be Torres at second with Didi at short, because Didi really looks like he's coming to his own as a shortstop. But, the Yankees will figure it out one way or the other. But, yeah, definitely, if he stays with the Yankees, he's definitely, even though he's only in his second year with the Yankees, he'll be more a Yankee than a Cub by the time it's all said and done. I was really shocked that somebody brought up his name. I never thought that anybody would even look at him when it came to something like that. And that caught me completely by surprise.
I think that's part of being in Pinstripes. You know, kind of like Chris Sale never had the Cy Young until he went to Boston.
Yeah, that's kind of humorous, isn't it? That Sale was never a Cy Young contender with the White Sox, even though he was incredible with them. But they just, you just don't get the names. You know, there's just not enough name value there being a White Sox. But man, yeah, once he got on the East Coast and everybody started seeing him, he's the greatest pitcher in baseball. So, I didn't see this. Apparently, the Marlins have ruled Edison Volquez out for the remainder of the season. I didn't know that. I know he had the tendonitis issue, but I guess they've ruled him out. They also ruled out JT Riddle, who was playing shortstop for him. So, wow. Yeah, well, I mean, I know they're kind of out of it and, you know, all that stuff, but that's too bad. I thought Volquez was really kind of finding it after the no-hitter.
Yeah, it was a flash in the pan or flash in the dark over the days. And speaking of no-hitters, I turned on the mothership last night. I forget what game was actually on, and they pulled in the Marlins-Washington game. Gio's no-hitter going into the top of the ninth, only to have D. Gordon break it up.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, you know, I made it till the seventh inning of that game up, and yeah, I got up and I was like, oh, he didn't get it. So, but you know, we were talking about trades, and I didn't even get to ask you, you know, your guy Tony Watson going to the Dodgers. How did you feel about that?
I must have missed that one. Did you say Tony Watson in the Dodger uniform?
Yeah, Tony Watson went to the Dodgers for, I don't remember how many minor leaguers over there. I don't remember. Let me see if I can pull it up. Yeah, well, you know, it was weird. You know, they sent Watson to the Dodgers, and then in return, they turned around and traded for a reliever, Joaquin Benoit. So it was a weird deal. Yeah, they sent an infield prospect, O'Neill Cruz, and a right-handed pitcher, Angel German, to the Pirates for Tony Watson.
I mean, who's Justin Wilson again?
You know, I know Watson had a bit of a down year. He really struggled as closer. But now that he's been back in, you know, the setup spot, he seems to be a lot more comfortable. And even a down year for Tony Watson is 5-3 with a 3.66 ERA. So that's a down year for Tony Watson.
Well, Well, I mean,
so,
and I have to double check to see if I have them both in the same league. But I mean, you're going into the playoffs, and you're going to have Tony Watson in the eighth and Kenley Jansen in the ninth available almost every day, especially with the way the time offs work. And with the spark that they're hitting has.
Yeah,
I mean,
and then they.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, the Dodgers also added Tony Cingrani, who's a left-handed reliever from the Reds, but did some closing for them last year. So, a lot of people speculate that they went out and got these two guys so they can get Bryce Harper out in the late innings of a playoff series.
Hey, well, they're doing smart.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's obviously something you may need to do. I mean, they're probably not going to meet in the first round, but if both teams advance, you know, then they're going to see each other. So you need a way to get them out. I don't think the Dodgers had a ton of left-handed bullpen guys as it was. I think definitely a couple of really solid ads. And again, I mean, you know, you didn't give up a ton to get these guys. So.
Yeah, and I did my double check, and I have Watson and Jansen in the auction league.
Oh, well, there you go. So, the lovely combination there. I have to look here and see how many lefties the Dodgers were carrying. Yeah, it looks like we just had the Avalon, and yeah, that's the only guy they've got listed on the roster now besides Watson. So you add Watson and Cingrani, you end up with a couple more guys, a couple more left-handers coming out of the pen. Cingrani is a former starter, can work multiple innings, if needed. And, they didn't give up, any of their top prospects. So, that's even a better form. I mean, I know, everybody's excited about the rain at Willie Calhoun because he's been a big time power hitter in the minors, but. Again, we'll see how it works out. But, my thing with the Dodgers, people have been harping on them for 3 years to do this kind of stuff, and now they do it without giving up their top guys. Before they would have had to give up a Bellinger, a Seager, or a Peterson. And if they had done that, we wouldn't be talking about the team where it is now. So, the more they kind of whine about the prospects and you've got to do this with them and you got to do that with them, they're really as clueless as you and I are when it comes to talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I feel like the Dodgers are one of the teams that you've never really truly discussed with, making deals and moving guys. I think, the biggest thing has been kind of waiting on to see how Gonzalez plays out. And unfortunately for him, I mean, he was put back on the 60-day DL, but he essentially becomes the odd man out of this team.
Yeah, sadly. I mean, the guy's had a great career. So, I know, Dan, I'm sure everybody was making fun of me when I listened to my FanDuel lineup. I want you to know that Mike Conley is 1-1 against Chris Sale with an RBI.
You what? Hey, you're breaking up.
I said I know everybody made fun of me for my FanDuel lineup, but I want you to know that Michael Brantley is 1-for-1 with an RBI against Chris Sale.
Oh, well, that works because I have him on both fantasy teams.
Yeah, I knew it was a tough matchup, but the type of hitter that could handle that. So I was okay with going with him in that money position. Hopefully he'll get a couple more hits and I'll really be okay there. But that's a lot to ask against a guy like Chris Sale, but at least he's off to a good start. So yeah, you know, I've been, you know, kind of thinking, Dan, and trying to figure it out. And I'm not sure now, you know, obviously you have to get a player through waivers, but is there a big pitcher out there that we might see moved? Is there somebody left? I know, you know, the first name I thought of was Irvin Santana with the Twins, you know, because obviously I don't think a Dan Straley is a big pitcher. But yeah, is there anybody who comes to mind with you? Like, I don't think, you know, we're going to see a Justin Verlander moved. Maybe you do. But I mean, is there a name you can think of pitching wise that we could see who could be a big time guy that could get moved to a contender?
No, not unless you kind of clear the waivers. I don't know if Wade Chen is a guy that is not hurt and Miami would be looking to move.
Yeah, I don't even know how healthy he is. So, but yeah, you know, again, like I said, I was just trying to think of some guys. I mean, I guess if the Cardinals decide to sell, I guess Lance Lynn could be that guy. But yeah, there doesn't seem like there's a ton out there, does there?
No, but that's the guy all the experts had the Cardinals moving before the All-Star break. I mean, if anything, it should be the Brewers looking at somebody. Unless they're throwing
in I'm kind of, you know, looking at the list here of the guys with really good ERAs for starters. You know, the Mariners aren't moving James Paxton. He's not going to go anywhere. The Royals aren't moving Vargas. Marcus Stroman is here at, I don't know if he would be somebody the Blue Jays would consider. Lance Lynn is here. You know, the Mets aren't moving DeGrom. You know, there's Mike Leake, Irvin Santana. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, there's not a ton of, real top quality guys here that look like they would be moved. So I think the pitching market is very thin or almost played out.
Yes, and I don't really see the Tigers being able to move to the center.
You don't see who what? You broke up there at the end.
I said I don't really see the Tigers being able to move Verlander.
You know, I think that's something that if they do decide to do it, it's going to have to go in the off season so they can work out all the money, you know, that goes along with Verlander and who's picking up what and, you know, how they're going to do it. But he had a really funny tweet yesterday. He tweeted out, "Breaking news, I'm still in the Tigers locker room," with a picture of him standing in front of his locker. So I thought that was pretty funny. Because, I think just about everybody had him going someplace else. But, yeah, in the end, he didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, of course, speculation makes it fun, but I think everyone gets a little too jumpy. And I think one of the things that kills me with the way the media goes now is they're just so quick to, you know, because now you don't even have to write a story to break a story. You just tweet it. And, I feel like everyone's too quick to move guys and don't realistically look at the situation and, you know, and the teams and the money and don't look at the whole picture and not just, I feel like they're almost becoming more, the reporter is trying to be up on the social media, almost becoming more like fans of the game. You know, I think one of the ones that, you know, and I know a lot of people don't, well, I don't know. I think he's 50-50, you know, David Kaplan. But, you know, he wasn't super quick to jump all over the, you know, the Cubs going for Alex Avila, except for the fact that he got that from one of his scouts. Of course, he doesn't give, what Scott said that. But he was a little bit more open than that. Anything, but I feel like there's a few guys, like he and a few guys that are, local to the prospective market that actually pay attention and know not so much the inner working, but understand how the game is played and don't just jump all over. And I think that's what, I don't know, I think everyone gets just a little too excited about what's going to happen and don't think realistically. And especially after Theo came out and said they're really not looking to rent a player. And I mean, and I took that as far as, a big guy like a Yu Darvish or, somewhere in that realm. Because I really don't know how to deal with terms and Justin Wilson.
Yeah, well, I know Wilson goes to arbitration next year, so they'll have him next year. Avila's in the last year of his deal. He was only signed for 1 year by the Tigers, but, he's only really here because it didn't do Victor Caratini any good to sit on the bench and get limited at bats. He needed to be playing every day at his age. So you get him back to the minors. He can play every day now. That's what he needed. So,
which I find it funny because with the amount of outfielders that becomes fans, there's an outfielder who used to catch that could have picked up some games.
Right.
But I'm not going to say anything. We're not going to talk about that.
They haven't used him as much as I thought they would back there. And that's what was weird when they kept complaining about catching. And it was kind of like, but, can Schwarber fill in here and there? So
I think they forgot that he got hurt in the outfield and not behind the plate. I was called stupid because I mentioned that had he been behind the plate, he would have never gotten hurt in the outfield. And I mean, there could have been other choice words used for that, but the common denominator I feel like though was Derek Dexter Fowler, because he had a nice collision this year with the Cardinals, and I think it was true that Schwarber would have never gotten hurt if he wasn't out there with Dexter Fowler.
But, and I mean, it was a fluke injury. It was two guys going for a fly ball. It wasn't like he blew it out just running somewhere. It was two guys trying to make a baseball play.
Yeah. Well, and then of course the example of Buster Posey accident behind the plate, and to which I responded, and I got no response, was, well,
yeah, which is really terrible.
Yeah, it is.
All right, well, the music means it's time for Dan and I to go, but we're going to come back tomorrow to do it all again at 5:30. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. The link will take you to the Facebook page. Get over there and give that a like. We'd appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to hunt us down. As always, we appreciate you listening live. That's a big thanks for doing that. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.